Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back in quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsman and Greg Pickle here. This segment brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Looking at recruiting and into the future and really just bringing back into focus where things stand in the 19 class with National Signing Day coming up in just a few weeks. It's an interesting place. 19 commits so far. Am I getting that number right, 19?
Signees.
I keep 18. 18 signees. Okay.
18 signees in the class of 2019.
There you go. Maybe that's where I'm going wrong. So 18 commits, 18 signees, some room there. And I don't know if – you know, obviously some of these NFL draft declarations come as a surprise to us, but probably not inside Penn State's football building. So that's probably built into the way they recruited. Any change in how you perceive overall scholarship space in the 19 class?
Well, so, I mean, it looked like all along that with through either traditional transfers, which let's keep in mind, there could be more of those coming. The fact that the winter semester started may put a clamp on that for now, but let's just assume, like, Penn State already has one with Sterling Jenkins transferring to Duquesne. Let's just assume two or three more of those happen. You can count on those almost every year. It's just the way the game works. So we knew that they were going to get, you know, the number in that they got. So, at this point, yeah, I mean, I think that the numbers are what they are. Penn State has about 5 to 6 spots left at this current moment. They don't have to use all of them. That's a good thing. They have targets out there to use them on, but they don't have to use all of them. And that's really important, I think, knowing that the class of 2020 could potentially be bigger as well.
Looking at some of the names, you know, a lot of these won't come as a big surprise, but Penn State's got work to do along the defensive line. I think Devon Ellis is a name to know. Jared Harrison Hunt is a name to know. There's still work to be done to round up the class as far as that goes.
Right.
I'm curious how many more defensive linemen they end up getting from that group. Smith Vilbert is another one. There's a mix of tackles and ends to be a target. How many defensive linemen do you feel like they need in this class to call it a success as they're sitting there now?
Yeah, I'd say two more at least, and I think they both need to be defensive tackles. An end wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but I just think that you look at the programs that the national title, Alabama and Clemson have what, 4 national title games now they've been in?
Well, they're the two programs.
Right, and they got, and part of the big reason of that is they have the premier defensive lines in the country. And I mean, if you're going to get to that point, you better have guys who can get to the passer consistently and plug the run. And Penn State has some of those guys, but not obviously elite guys like those two programs do. So I think you have to start there, keep accruing talent in that room, and that's why those two names you just mentioned are very important.
Another name I'm curious what your thoughts are is Doug Nestor, the Ohio State commit. He's a offensive guard, offensive tackle from West Virginia. Uh-huh. I think at this point, and this is just me, it just looks like an improbable pull, but Penn State is in the conversation for him. I don't know that I would describe Penn State's offensive line recruiting as dire or anything, but I think they need another high upside guy in the mix there, looking into the 2019 and beyond. And Doug Nestor, the highest upside of the group. I don't know. They need to load up on both sides of the ball, but I think they need some potential for sure on the offensive line.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, look, you mentioned it a little bit ago, but losing Nana Asidu really threw Penn State off its plan because they thought they had two anchor tackles. Wow, that was a tough one. The two guys that could really be the future of their line with Rasheed Walker and Nana Asidu. Nana, unfortunately, has the heart issue. He can't play anymore. So now you're left with just Rasheed Walker and, you know, Bryce Effner's in this class as well, but no one knows if he's a tackle. Is he a guard? And what is he? We get back into that swing conversation with him. So it'll be tough for Penn State, no question. I do think you're absolutely right. Penn State could get Nestor to be a huge boost to this class.
I don't think you can count on that. So we'll see how that goes. This 19 class, Greg, I don't know that we've spent probably enough time looking at how good it can be.
Uh-huh.
And looking at how this was not really the cycle where Penn State would get the class with the fourth highest average player rating in the country.
Right.
You know, with an average player rating, all these metrics are imperfect. Right. I think that goes without saying. But to have a class with a higher average player rating than even the 18 class had coming in. I do think the 18 class had a few guys in it who were underrated, probably by, you know, pretty long shot.
Agreed.
Judge Culpepper, Aeneas Hawkins are two guys that I really love that just didn't get a lot of love from national services. But this 19 class, considering that Pennsylvania was thin on high upside talent in the 19 class and that they had to go into Florida for a couple guys, they had to go all over the place. They had to cobble this thing together from some non-traditional recruiting regions. I think it's a sign of something to come, you know, and they can always lean on the Mid-Atlantic. They've gone into Virginia now, really three classes in a row to get elite talent out of there. Right. Nothing from the state of Maryland in this class. They're, you know, not the highest profile guys from the state of Pennsylvania because there really were none. If there were ever a year for Penn State's recruiting to take a step backwards, 2019 was the year, and it just didn't happen.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that's a credit to James Franklin and his coaching staff, right? I mean, these guys are always hitting the trail. He made a hire in Jawan Sider that assured Penn State the opportunity to get into Florida and get talents from the state. So, I mean, ultimately, this is exactly what you need to do if you're going to reload, not rebuild, as they say. You have to be able to take a down year in your area and go find the guys. And Penn State was able to do that. And now they need to continue to do that moving forward.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show talking Penn State recruiting. Looking ahead to 2019 National Signing Day Part 2. Penn State's got a pretty full class so far that's already signed. You know, you got 11 of these guys on campus already. They're already starting to get to work as far as, you know, contributing in 2019. You also have some big targets out there in 19 looking at those defensive linemen. How about 2020? Greg, you mentioned the dynamic of not a lot in Penn State's own backyard in terms of elite talent, so they had to look elsewhere for that. That dynamic changes a little bit in 2020. A couple guys, Brian Bressy, the number one player in the country in the state of Maryland, and then Julian Fleming from Southern Columbia High School, who is a priority for Penn State. He's also got a lot of attention from elsewhere. If Penn State continues down this path where they're recruiting at such a high level, which there's no reason to doubt that, then you bring it back geographically so that this type of talent is there and it's in their backyard. Penn State will be among the favorites for some of these guys. How good can the 2020 class be? Can it be James Franklin's best yet?
Well, how do we define best? Because that's always the interesting part. Is it the highest rated by star rankings? Because sometimes that can get messy with how many players you have. And, you know, you have 19. That's why you were talking about the average star rating. It's a better metric this year for Penn State. People that want to use, you know, for Penn State doesn't want to say it's number whatever, number 12 in the country. It wants to say, well, our average star rating is number 3. So it always is going to be a different metric depending on what you are looking at.
I like the average player rating.
I think it is a better tool because – again, it takes numbers out of the equation. It takes the fact that some schools, whether they have room for them or not, are going to sign 25, 30 guys every year. I guess you can't do 30 anymore because of the oversigning rule now. But every school, you know, there's schools that are going to sign 25 every year, which is pretty much, you know, it seems very impossible to do from a numbers standpoint. They find a way. So if you're Penn State and you're usually in that 19 to 22 range, then you're not going to ever probably be at number one or number two in the country unless you have basically a majority of five stars, which Penn State probably won't do either because there's only so many of them to go around. So, average star rating, I think, is a good metric. It worked in Penn State's favor a little bit last year as well, and it certainly does in this class. So 2020 by far could be the year that they really see both of those metrics go in their favor.
What's going on with Julian Fleming now? Because I think it was from 24/7 Sports. They caught up with him down in the Under Armour, what is it called, the Future 50 game. Talking about, I was really intrigued by him discussing the idea of staying close to home versus the idea of getting out of Pennsylvania and experiencing something new. He seems very open to probably both outcomes. So the fact that Penn State is in his backyard isn't as big of a factor as I know I once thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a tough one to figure out because he's going to show up at Penn State 22 times a year. That might be an exaggeration. It might not be.
Not by much.
I would say in 2018 he was there for, what, 6 home games, the blue-white game, probably once or twice before the blue-white game, probably once or twice after the blue-white game. I think he was back in December after the PAAA championship. So, I mean, he probably was on campus 12, 15 times in 2018. So, he's a guy that's going to show up on campus frequently, but not necessarily pull the trigger as soon as some might think he would. He's going to take his visits and check things out. I don't know if he'll go all the way until the early signing day for class of 2020, which will be something like December 19, 2019 at the end of this year. But yeah, let's just waste away the year and look that far into the future. But yeah, I mean, I think that ultimately what Penn State needs to do is just keep stay on him, get him to campus as much as possible, and hope for the best and hope you can lock him down in the end. But it seems to me this is going to come down to which head coach he connects best with. So if you're worried that David Corley is leaving and maybe Julian Fleming as the receiver had a relationship with David Corley, I don't think that matters. I think this comes down to which head coach impacts him the most, makes him feel the most comfortable on campus and as a player, and has longevity, because, you know, if you commit to a head coach and he gets canned the next year or the year after, you're obviously going to be in a situation that you didn't expect to be in.
I can't remember a class where Penn State was quote-unquote in on as many 5-stars as they are in 2020. Brian Bressy, Julian Fleming, Mikael Sherman, Chris Tyree, the running back from Virginia. Could they make it 3 times in the last three straight? I guess it would be 3 straight cycles with a 5-star running back from the state of Virginia with Chris Tyree, Rakeem Jarrett, the wide receiver from St. John's College in Washington, D.C. You can never say, you know, these recruitments go national. They run late. There's a lot of teams in the mix, and it causes some more stress as a fan. But these are the guys, you know, that 2 or 3 of them, you're really hoping and praying to land. Penn State's got a shot in 2020, including Julian Fleming, which, by the way, whatever, whether he wants to stay in Pennsylvania, out of Pennsylvania, I think the school that a kid visits the most is probably a good indicator of where you can expect him to go. It's not a done deal for sure, but Julian Fleming and Penn State, there's just too much mutual interest to really ignore that. The question is, can they add another 1 or 2 5-stars to go with him? And that will define how high the upside is for Penn State 2020 class.
Yeah, that's really going to be the deciding factor between being in the top 12 to 8 range and the, you know, top 5, top 6.
So we'll see how it goes. That's recruiting for you. National Signing Day coming up in a few weeks. We're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Ask Greg your Penn State football and recruiting questions. It's coming up after this. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.